Now, we're going to start by talking about groundbreaking research carried out over quite a number of years by the University of Limerick, which looks into people's personality traits and how they might be a powerful predictor of their risk of death. Now, this was a major study analysing almost 6 million person years of data. And it has revealed that personality traits are linked to longevity and equally they are linked to risk of death. And the lead author on this report, Dr. Maura McGeehan, is on the line now to share some more of those findings with us. Maura, you're very welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Deirdre. Thanks for having me on.
Not at all. My pleasure. So listen, what was the driving force behind carrying out this research in the first place? What was the idea behind it?
Well, I suppose there has been a lot of research into personality traits and health outcomes, particularly mortality risk. And, you know, associations have been found with certain personality traits as predictors, but there's a lot of mixed results across those studies. So we decided there hadn't been a really comprehensive review of all the research in the area. So we decided to undertake this. And I started it as part of my PhD way back 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. And it was just published this week. So we're very proud of the work that has come out of it.
A lot of research involved, I'd say.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I mean, there are a huge number of studies. There's a lot of really large longitudinal studies, which means they follow people over decades and they get their mortality data and they compile these studies, which are fantastic. But because there's so many differences between the studies, it's very hard to say definitively, oh, yes, this personality trait will predict, you know, if someone is going to live longer or shorter amount of time. So we were able to pool all the results using statistical techniques, and we found that three personality traits in particular were predictive of mortality risk. So neuroticism, for example, it has been found before, but there have been mixed findings with it. But neuroticism, which is a tendency really to have kind of more worry, be more prone to anxiety, and this is over time now, it's not periods of anxiety, but kind of that more emotional instability as a characteristic trait across time. We found that that was actually linked to an increased risk of mortality. And it's not to cause anyone any concern. It's like, for example, person who is maybe one unit higher in neuroticism than someone else might have a 3% increased risk of mortality.
Are you talking about somebody we might describe as highly strung or on edge or jumpy?
Yeah. Yes, yeah, absolutely, yeah. And maybe might prefer their own company, might become overstimulated very easily. But also, you know, there is another side of that, that someone who's higher in neuroticism might tend to, you know, attend more doctor's appointments if they're worried about their health. You know, so there are some good points to it, but, you know, it is linked to an increased mortality risk, probably because of using like health behaviours. So people who are higher in neuroticism tend to have poorer health behaviours. They might use, you know, smoking or alcohol to kind of calm that nervous energy. So, you know, it would be good for those, if you suspect that you might be higher in neuroticism, just to pay attention to those things, you know, on a behavioural level. And for biological processes, it might be more associated with higher stress and poorer coping techniques around stress. So it would be good to kind of have a, you know, keep an eye on that and just be aware of it, really. It's not meant to stress anyone out.
And what kind of, conversely then, what kind of personality types are linked to longevity? Person is likely to have a better chance of living into a ripe old age?
Oh, well, people who are higher in conscientiousness definitely have an increased longevity. And that people who are higher tend to be more goal orientated. They tend to be more self-disciplined. So they, you know, if somebody, for example, is given a diagnosis or something, they're more likely to stick to a medication regime. They're more likely to stick to diets, stick to exercise patterns. I think there was something in pop culture a while ago saying people higher in conscientiousness will make their beds. And I thought, oh, well, that's not me. but there's more, there's more to it than that. And it is kind of, it's probably, you know, a different approach to life and those health behaviours. They'd be less inclined to engage in those, you know, health risk behaviours and more likely to have higher health protective behaviours.
Okay, and I believe there's good news for extroverts from this study as well, Maura.
There is. People higher in extroversion, which is, I suppose, people who like social interaction and people who, you know, will make an effort to engage with people and probably quite enjoy it and might seek it out. Those people have a reduced mortality risk as well. And it's about a 3%. It's less than conscientiousness, but it is a 3% reduced risk as well. And we think that's probably due to the fact that social isolation in itself is linked to an increased mortality risk. So it could be through those mechanisms that, you know, being around people can be good for some people and they seek it out. And it is good then for their long-term health outcomes.
Mm. And I know this was kind of a global study, but there was an interesting development about extroverts and in the United States and Australia in particular, yeah, compared to other countries. So what did you find out there?
There was. Yeah, we looked at why there were differences between study findings. And it was really interesting, but I don't want to read too much into it either. But we found that extroversion was protective in the US and Australia, but not necessarily in the UK. There were some studies that found it, but the pooled result together wasn't significant. So we were wondering, and it is really speculation, if extroversion is more prized in America. And I think that kind of plays out. We can see that it is more valued to be more extroverted than us Irish or even English people. They have a different take to it. So, you know, it might be true that that is pure speculation. But yeah, there was a difference there between the US and Australia.
And was there anything from all that research? And I mean, it's really comprehensive and it took a long, long time to put all this together, obviously, Maura. But was there anything that emerged that kind of surprised you or that you weren't expecting?
I suppose I was doing it for so long. I think by the end of it, I wasn't surprised by anything. I think age was probably quite surprising because I broke down age groups into, now, the average age for across all of the studies, even though there was a wide range, the average age was about 61. So you're looking at an older population. But we had, you know, we had participants in there up to their late 90s. So, you know, we had groups of older participants, middle age, and kind of a younger middle age, if you like. And I'm not being ageist here at all. But basically, I did find that there was a difference in neuroticism in that the effects were stronger for kind of middle age. So that means that, you know, basically, people in middle age may be more susceptible to all that anxiety and stress and worry. And that kind of plays out with kind of the increased level of responsibility people have in middle age. That kind of maybe falls away in older age. And people tend to be kind of lower in neuroticism as they get older anyway. There's a natural shift away from it and an increase in conscientiousness. So that was quite surprising. So we'll see, you know, further research is needed, as they always say, to kind of really look at that and tease out that finding.
Mm, very interesting stuff indeed. And just a final question, where now for this research? I mean, a lot of what you have found feeds into the messages that organisations like Age Action Ireland and others have been peddling for years, for want of a better word. They've been saying the older you get, the more you have to have a social life. You have to get up, get out there, meet people, keep the brain active. So this will definitely be music to their ears, I'd imagine.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And it is really important. And the research shows that. So, you know, people who may find it difficult, it's really important to make that effort and get out there and try and socialize. And just the regular, you know, if you're more susceptible to, you know, be higher in neuroticism and experience worry, there are steps you can take. There are, you know, behaviors, you know, you can mind yourself a little bit better and know that, you know, there may be something going on there that you can't really help. It's out of your control. So the only thing you can control is, you know, your own behavior, how you cope with it, how you cope with stress and anxiety and worry. And, you know, there's so much support out there as well. And even through Age Action as well, I believe they provide a lot of support as well.
Indeed. Well, look, it's a very interesting study, and we've really only just scratched the surface and spoken about some of the main findings. I'm sure.
Thank you so much, Deirdre.
Not at all. It was great to speak to you. If people do want to read more about this, by the way, Maura, where could they access this study? Is it online anywhere? Or?
It is, and it's open access. So even if they just Google it, anybody can access it. We try to have an open policy so that, you know, research is not restricted to, you know, behind a paywall. So, yeah, absolutely, they can just Google the research. And I think there's a link in your the press release as well to the study. So if they want to read about the study, absolutely, it's there, freely available. Can I just actually give a shout out? I don't know
sure.
if they're listening. But I have family in Tralee. I have Bernard Burke and Sharon Burke and all the extended family down there. I just wanted to say hello and happy Christmas.
No problem at all. No problem at all, Maura. Listen, great
Thanks
to speak
so
to you.
Thanks so much.
And well done. Fascinating
great to
stuff.
Speak to you, dear.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye.